bless the name of the Lord. It's a great pleasure to come into our homes this precious evening. I'd like to welcome and celebrate all our online visitors or viewers today. The service today is actually an interesting one in the sense that due to, the present situation that is in our world, the issue of the COVID-19 pandemic, which we are trusting and believing God for total and absolute victory. That's the reason why our services have been moved online, and though we may not be able to meet physically speaking, we are confident of the fact that through all the various social medium platforms that we have, we're able to bring a message of hope and a message of healing and restoration. More importantly, while we observe all the essential principles of basic hygiene, we also need to stay strong in Him, stay strong in His word, and stay strong in the power of His name. Today, by the special grace of God, I will be continuing. We'll be talking about the issue of waging spiritual warfare for the past 3 Tuesdays. That's been the subject of our discourse or discussion. So today is going to be, that will be part 4 in the series. So we're going to read a foundation scripture. Those of us who are watching with us, can everybody open to 2 Corinthians 10? 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to read from verse number 3 down to verse 6. That's where our foundation scripture is. 2 Corinthians 10, from verse 3 down to 6, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So there is a warfare that is taking place. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That means we have weapons for this warfare. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they are not physical, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse number 6, "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled." Can we pray? Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. I pray that your word will bring healing, restoration. Thank you, Father God, because you are going to put tools and resources that will empower us to be victors in the battles of life. Glory be to your name. Like I did mention, we've been speaking for, this is the 4th week, on the subject of waging spiritual warfare successfully. God wants us to win. He wants us to win in the spiritual battles of life. There's no doubt about the fact that life is a battle. There's no doubt about the fact that we are contending with the forces. Forces that we are contending with, they are not physical entities. I have explained what the concept of spiritual warfare means. Then I've also explained reasons why you need to know how to wage spiritual warfare successfully. Where we have been focusing on for about 2 weeks now is how to wage this warfare. How do we win? How do you fight the spiritual warfares of life successfully? How can I become a winner? Because there are tools, there are resources that God has put at our disposal, to help us to be a victor when it comes to waging spiritual warfare successfully. For the purpose of those people who are probably just joining us, you probably have not taken part in this series since it started. I think I've shared so far 6 of those weapons or 6 of those ways by which you wage spiritual, there's a way to waging spiritual warfare. If you're going to be successful, you need to be aware of these principles and these keys that God has made available. The first thing that I mentioned is that you need to know the what of the weapons that you carry. I explain what that means. Then secondly, I said, you need to have faith in the weapons that he has given to you. The weapons of your warfare, my warfare, it wouldn't work if you don't release faith in the weapons that God has given you. Then we went ahead to also share with us principle number three, which is you need to deploy these weapons effectively. It doesn't matter how sophisticated or how powerful the kind of weapons you are. If you don't know how to deploy it, you will still not be successful. I explained ways of deploying these weapons. Then number four, I spoke on the fourth, you know, way by waging spiritual warfare successfully, is that you need to know how to use your mouth properly. Our mouth is our weapon of deliverance. Scripture says that emphatically. Proverbs 12 verse 6 says, the mouth of the righteous shall deliver them. I explain how you can use your mouth in the process of spiritual warfare. Then number five, I also shared with us that one of the very vital keys to winning your spiritual warfare successfully is you need to use your mind appropriately. By the way, your mind is the battleground. And I shared with us ways by which you can put your mind to work in giving you victory in the battles of life. The sixth point, that is what I introduced, but I didn't go extensively into it, was that you need to be sensitive in the spirit. You need to be sensitive in the spirit. Sensitivity in the spirit is so crucial if you're going to be victorious in the spiritual battles of life. You need to know when God is speaking to you. You must be able to pick the promptings, the urgings of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's no way you can be successful in the spiritual battles of life if you are not sensitive. Sensitivity to what God is saying, sensitivity to what God wants you to do is crucial to victory. The Bible was speaking in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says, we need to be sober and vigilant. Why did he say sober and vigilant? The word vigilant simply means you need to be alert. You need to be on your toes. 1 Thessalonians again, 5 verse 6. It says we must not sleep like others do sleep. It says we need to be sober and vigilant. So God wants you. That is your posture. If you are going to be victorious in the spiritual battles of life, you have to be sensitive. The Bible was speaking in Matthew 13 concerning the parable of the tares and the parable of the wheat. The Bible says in verse 25, when men slept, that's when the enemy came. They ought to be on their feet spiritually. They ought to be sensitive. They ought to be on guard, alert. But because they were sleeping, you know, it's the same thing today. We cannot afford to be docile. The thing that is, I mean, the battle that we are facing, this current issue about the COVID-19 pandemic that is ravaging the world, it's a spiritual battle. And we cannot afford to be docile. We can't afford to be sleepy. We have to be on our toes. Our sensitivity will help us to win this warfare. So when I say you need to be sensitive to the spirit, if you're going to win in the spiritual battles of life, what do I mean? Number one, I mean it to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to you. Revelation 3 verse 6, verse 13, verse 22 says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Notice that word, saying. That means the Spirit is saying some things. There are instructions that God wants to give to you. It's important that we realize this. I just remember a situation. I was watching this great woman of God, Joyce Meyer, recently, and she was sharing the testimony of a young man who got an appointment in the World Trade Center. I mean, he just left, college, and he got that job, and he went to pray, and in the process of praying, he didn't have the release to take the job. I mean, when he told people, they thought he was mad, because that was like, a high-paying job. To work at the World Trade Center, the dream of every young man. Now, this is prior to the 9/11 issue. It turned out the offer went in another direction. And less than 1 year, the incident of the 9/11 happened. Now, you can see the issue of how sensitivity is crucial if you're going to win the spiritual battle of life. He was sensitive to what God was saying to him. Not everybody is sensitive to what God is saying to them. At times, people allow themselves to be distracted by what is happening around them, or they allow other things to preoccupy. One of the very important things you must realize if you're going to win in your spiritual battles is that you must have the ability to hear God. David was a great general. David never lost in the battle. The secret to David becoming a winner in the battles he fought was his ability to hear God. You see scriptures like 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 8, 1 Samuel 23 verse 2 and verse 4 is always making inquiries. What will you have me do? He's trying to find out. What are you saying? What I'm trying to say to us in a nutshell is that if you're going to win in the spiritual battles of life, you must know what God is saying to you. That's what sensitivity means. That sensitivity also means that you must also know, number two, what He wants you to do. You know, when Jesus attended the wedding at Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2, verse 5, one of the very important things the mother of Jesus told those guys was that whatsoever He asks you to do, do it. Notice the emphasis is on doing. In other words, anything He asks you to do, do it. Now, their failure to do what He said would not have resulted in the miracle. What is God asking you to do? You cannot afford to be negligent. If you are going to win in the spiritual battles of your life, you must be able to know, what is He asking me to do? Because the bottom line is that He has something you need to do that will lead to your victory. There's a very popular story in the Bible. I'm sure many of us know the story of Gideon and the army that he raised. You know, he came out with 32,000 intending to fight the enemy. God said, no, tell anybody that's free. Anybody that's afraid, let them go home. I mean, you see quickly the number reduced. God still said, they are too much. They are too many. I will test them for you. In other words, God told him what to do. Go to the river. Anybody that jumps into the river and is drinking, I mean, let them go back home. The people who stoop down and lap the water, those are the people. Imagine from 32,000 to 300. Only 300 people eventually prosecuted that war and they won. You know why? The reason is because Gideon was sensitive to what God asked him to do. So it's important. If you will win in the spiritual battles of your life, you need to know what God is saying. That's what sensitivity to the Spirit means. What does sensitivity to the Spirit mean? Number three, it also means you must be sensitive to where He wants you to go. Every place is not the place. There is the appointed place. If you look at what happened in the days of Elijah, days of the famine, 1 Kings 17, verse 2, 1 Kings 17, verse 9, God gave him specific instructions as to where to go. If he refused to go to those places, he will have died during the famine. If you don't want to lose out in the spiritual battles of life, if you want to come out as a victor, you must be sensitive to where he wants you to go. You know, at times, we have an idea of where we want to go. That's why scripture says in Proverbs 19 verse 21, it says there are many devices. The word devices means thoughts or plans. There are many thoughts in the heart of a man. It says nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord. So that means God's counsel, God's plan is superior. I mean, thank God for your ways. Your ways can never be compared to God's ways. In fact, the Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the heart, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's what it said in Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. So it's important to be sensitive. You need to be sensitive. Where does He want me to go? You know, people say this, majority carries the vote. And at times people have always said this also, that God is always in the majority. That's not true. For your information, God is not a Democrat. God operates by theocracy. Theocracy has to do with a system of government that God, gives or dishes out the instruction. That was how Israel were being led before they asked for a king.
And for as long as God was their leader, you could see that they made great progress. Go and study the children of Israel, their history. You discover that the day they started having kings, that's when they started going farther and farther and farther from God. And that's when so many calamities befell them. So it's important, if you're going to win your spiritual battle, you must know where God wants you to go. Every place is not the place. Many of us are familiar with the story of, I think it was Isaac, during the time of famine, Genesis 26. Because his father went to Egypt, he was almost tempted to go into Egypt. And God said, no, don't go to Egypt. Genesis 26 from verse 1. God says, stay, verse 2, stay in Gerar. He says, because I'm going to bless you here. Now, if he had gone ahead to the place he wanted to go, he would have been stranded. I pray for you today that you don't be stranded. It's important for us to realize, and it's important for us to understand that if you're going to win in the spiritual battles of life, we must know where to go. Where to go is very crucial. I remember this successful businessman. It was a testament that was shared by Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory. He said this man never lost any money in business. And the reason he never lost any money in business was very obvious, because he never took any decision without hearing from heaven. I mean, you know, as a businessman, you could be tempted with many offers. I mean, like they say, all that glitters is not gold. The fact that the offer looks juicy, the fact that the offer looks very, you know, attractive, does not mean that God is there. So it's important for us to, these are things we must be sensitivity is crucial. What's God saying to me? What is he asking me to do? Where does he want me to go? Those are the things that will make you a victor. And those are the things that we must start paying attention to. This is one of the very important things that will make you to be a winner, a victor in the spiritual battles of life. I want to go to point number 7, which is also a very important key that will help us in becoming a winner. I want to say this to you, that God wants you to win in that spiritual battle. He wants to make you a victor. Listen, the spirit, you can begin to dominate in the spiritual warfare of life. I know that life is a warfare, but God wants you to win. And listen, you will win. So how does God want to put me over? How does he want to put me over? We're going to look at principle number 7 that will help me to wage the spiritual battles of my life effectively. It is what I call walking in love. Walking in love. When I mean love here, I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about the unconditional love of God, the selfless love of God. Listen, walking in love is a potent weapon that you must engage. If you are going to win in the spiritual battles of life, you cannot afford to be harboring things like envy, things like anger, things like bitterness, things like these things, and the rest, unforgiveness. They limit our capacity for winning or victory. And I've seen that at times, this is what has hindered several people. I'm going to read some scriptures to us. I want to turn with me to 1 Peter. I want to show something very quickly tonight, for you to see that you can't afford to be bitter. Like one of my mentors said, you can't be better if you are bitter. You have to choose one. They don't go together. 1 Peter 2 from verse 1. It says, wherefore laying aside all malice, see that word, all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. You know, I said in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk that you may grow thereby. So that means growth is not possible. Growth becomes impossible if you abhor all of these elements. And this is why some people are not victorious in the battles of life. They are carrying a little baggage. You see, God wants to travel light. That's why Jesus is called the burden bearer. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, it says, casting all your cares. It didn't say some, it didn't say part. All your cares. Listen to this. He's your burden bearer. He can bear the burden. Why carry the burden? There's a very interesting story I remember years ago of how somebody was standing on the roadside carrying a bag of load.
And somebody who knew him stopped, said, let me give you a ride. And he thanked the person, entered the car. To the surprise of the person who offered to give him a lift, he saw that the guy was still carrying the load on his head. And he was amazed. He said, excuse me, put the load in the boot. The guy said, no. I said, put it in the boot. He said, no. He said, you have done me a great favor by giving me a lift. Let me still carry it. Now, you can see that that man did not understand the concept of a burden bearer. The car is supposed to bear the burden. And at times, that's how some of us are. Instead of allowing Jesus to bear those burdens. You know, people will say, I want to give that person a piece of the medicine he or she gave me. I want to show him that I'm not a mumu. And I always tell people this. I mean, if you give everybody a piece of your mind, what will be left? So let God fight your battle. That's why at times we are not victorious in the battles of life. We want to fight ourselves. Don't forget, God said, I am Jehovah, the man of war. Nobody can fight like it. Listen, I was telling somebody, I said, God fights death. What we call rougher fight. Death. He knows how to do it. Listen, God knows how to deal with your enemies. God knows how to give you victory. Listen, sweatless victory is available. If you allow him to fight, you cannot win if you harbor bitterness, envy, malice. Look at Joseph. His brothers did so many things to him that there's no reason why he should have forgiven them. But he chose the path of forgiveness. No wonder he was victorious. I'm speaking to you today prophetically. If you want to be victorious, you have to let go. Let go of the baggage. Let go of the weight. Listen, it will slow you down. You know, somebody carrying a piece of load on his head and trying to run, it will slow you down. The reason you have not been able to move far or farther is because you have not shed off the weight. It's time to shed off. We need to shed off so that the victory of Jehovah can be certain. And that's what I see you entering into. It's important for us to realize that, I said I will read some scriptures. Let's read another one in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, it's important to travel light. We need to travel light. We need to travel light if they're going to win in the battles of life. Ephesians 4, let's see from verse 31. Ephesians 4 from verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, see that word again? All bitterness, not some. Some people have said, well, I can forgive on all fronts, but this one is special to me. I still want to hold on to it. Now, this word says all bitterness, not some. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. See the word away. In other words, it should be far away from you. With all malice. You know, there are all kinds of malice. There are indirect malice, there are direct malice. Whatever fashion, he says, do away with it. Verse 32, it says, and be ye kind. He's telling you, this is the posture you should take now. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If you now go to chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be ye followers of God as their children. How do you know somebody is a follower of God? Look at verse 2. And walk in love. That is a true follower of God. Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? It's not just enough to say, I'm a child of God by name. But I'm talking about in character and in deed. I mean, Jesus is the epitome of love. I mean, he is the description of what love is. The Bible says he laid down his life. John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. That's what he did for us. And scriptures make us understand that in 1 John 4 verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts away fear. It's important to let go. We need to let go. This is one of the reasons many people are not victorious in the battle of life. Look at Joseph. He could have held to the bitterness. He could have held to the hunger. I mean, for your brothers to sell you off, your blood brothers, that is, I mean, a heavy thing. But he chose the path of forgiveness. And that's what I'm saying to you today. Choose the path of forgiveness. Because that's the way to become him. If you want God to fight your battles for you and win, you have to forget the past.
forget the past. Be willing to forgive those who have offended you. Be willing to forgive those that you have also, offended. And at times, people even find it hard to forgive themselves. Forgive yourself. Stop hitting yourself with a stick on the head. Your past is past. Your past is in the dead. It's dead. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a new creation. I want to announce to you today that a new beginning has started. It's important for us to realize that if we are going to be victorious, we need to walk in love. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in love. Listen, walking in love must become, it should be a decision. Walking in love is something that you cannot afford. I tell people this, I'm not forgiving you because of you. I'm forgiving you because of me. A great woman of God said, he said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and, thinking that your enemy will die. We know the real person that will die. If you drink poison, the person that drank poison is the person that will die. So, say no to bitterness. Say no to unforgiveness. Say no to malice. We need to walk in love. That's the surest way. That's the surest way. That's the surest path to victory. And if we choose the path of, if we choose this pathway, you will see that God will fight your battles. There's no how. Jesus said in Luke 17 verse 1, it's impossible that offenses, there will be offenses. People will hurt you, you will hurt people. It's important to let go. I remember a very funny experience years ago. This is when I was still in the services of the former pastor that I served. One of my ministers, superior, there was something that happened. What happened, a little bit funny, there was an opportunity, so to speak, an opportunity, an opening, to go outside the country and pastor, a branch of that church. And I was approached and I was told that, by leadership that you're going. And I told leadership very politely, I said, sir, I thank you for this opportunity, but I don't see myself there. I see myself here. The way I see myself going around the world, not going to stay there. And, at the point it became so contentious because it was, you are disobeying me. I have heard from God. Go. And I said, if you say I should go, okay. I will go because you said I should go. I want to obey leadership. Now, I never knew that one of my seniors were interested in that thing. I never really knew because, I just felt that, I didn't want to go. So the pastor came to see me and said, after I agreed to go, I was on my way back home and I got a call that, that thing, blah, 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 blah. I've spoken with oversight. God told me to go instead of you. I said, fine, sir. If that's the way, I'm okay. In fact, that's like taking off my body. This is something I didn't want to go before. So, God has answered my prayer. And in fact, I was so happy. Now, part of the things that now later transpired, because evidently, I don't know how people got to hear the news among the rank and file. And some people got very furious. And people said, don't take that kind of rubbish. That's what they call ingenio, blah, 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 blah. All kinds of things. People came and were advising me. No, don't. You must do this. I said, no way. I said, no. I said, God will fight about it. They said, no. This is a slap in the face. In fact, people that did not send, they took it upon themselves as a ministry. And they wanted to, I said, I didn't send anybody. Listen to this. I have rested my case in God. Because some other things now came up that wasn't, I'm not going to, someone said, how can you be related? From that point, I forgive the person that I forgot. The power of forgiveness was that ultimately later on, this is years later, maybe 2-3 years later on, God sort walked it in such a way that, without lobbying, without doing anything, of course, reached out to me, made peace, did everything. And if at the point, it's like I became a favorite of the person. Because even when I said, are you coming? I said, I'm not coming. I said, at the, so many things that happened that I took place. You mean the person did that to you? I said, you must have found favor. No. The point I'm trying to say is that if I've held to, if I've been bitter, if I'm be angry, I said, no, look at the way, this is cheating. I mean, God would not have opened several other better opportunities, and God would not have fought the battle. That's where I'm going. Let God fight your battle. So, why do we need to walk in love? Before I leave this, I need to dwell a little bit. Why is it important for me to walk in love? You need to walk in love, number one, so that your faith will not fail. Remember that your faith is one of the weapons of your warfare. If you want your faith to walk, Galatians 5 verse 6 says, faith walketh by love. In other words, your faith will not be strong and effective if you are walking in bitterness. So let go. I want my faith to walk. Ephesians 6 says that, I think it's verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. The shield of faith is a defensive weapon that you need to be available for you, because you can never tell when the arrows of the enemy are coming. So it's important. That's why you need to walk in love. Why should you walk in love? Number two, because walking in love is a covering. Remember, I call it a covering. It's a covering. A covering, I mean, serves as what? A shield, a protector, a protection. If you look at Proverbs 10, verse 12, it says, love covers the multitude of all evils. If you look at our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, in Ephesians 6, our armory, from verse 10 down to 18, and the other ones that are in some other place in the Bible, you discover that there's no armor for the back. And that's where love comes in. That's where walking in love, it will shield you, it will have as a covering. God said something to me. He said, it will cover you where you cannot cover yourself. You cannot cover your back. I mean, listen, if I'm walking now, I have the tendency only to be walking forward. I can't be walking forward at the same time looking at my back. In fact, it's hard for you to see your back. So what will serve as a covering for your back is love. That's why you need to walk in love if you want to win the battles of life. Number three, why should I walk in love? I hope you are getting, some very interesting points and revelations here. Number three, so that your growth will not be hindered. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2 that we read, you could see that connected to your growth is your ability to walk in love. You can't be carrying the baggage of malice, of bitterness, and you think that you're making spiritual progress. It's not possible. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. You see that love is connected to growth. If you don't want to be retarded in your growth, if you don't want to be stranded in the journey of life, you need to walk in love so that you can grow. Then, why do I need to walk in love? That will be number four now. You need to walk in love because love never fails. Remember that. What does that mean? Love will make you a winner. A winner in what? The battles of life. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. I remember an incident right now that just came to my mind. A very good friend of mine was mentoring some ladies. These ladies used to run for Nigeria in those days. She mentored them. You came there as a spiritual fair. I'm a father. If I mention that, this one was probably, I don't know whether you remember the Akeremi sisters. But the reality is that he was mentoring them. We used to live in Lorry in those days. Their house is not far away from my house. So they had something about my friend without clarifying, from my friend. They just took a decision. So when they went to their house to let me go and greet them today. Before he even entered the house, they started washing him down. You know, Yoruba people have been washing you down with pleasant, you know what I'm talking about, washing with powerful greetings. And they were washing them, lambasting, lampooning, and he said, if we see your leg here again. And they walked him out. I mean, it was very disgraceful. He came to my house because my house is not far. He said, I've never been disgraced like this in my life. I mean, they didn't give me a chance to talk. So he narrated. I said, don't worry. Don't need to get angry. I said, you know what? You know what the Bible says? You know you can't afford to hold anything. He said, ah! He said, what disgraces me? I said, that's not the issue. The Bible says you must forgive those who have offended you. If you read the Lord's Prayer, it's very clear. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. It was hard, but you know something? God helping that there. I mean, right in my presence to say, okay, I'm going to forgive them. In fact, we prayed for these ladies. And we now agreed, maybe like 2-3 days, go there. Go there and tell them that you came to apologize. Now, you know, that's foolish. Apologize for what? What I didn't do. Said, go and apologize. So after 3 days, he went there. Once he saw, he said, what are you going to say? No. I came to apologize. I'm sorry. He said, the moment he started saying, I'm sorry, he was pleading. He said, it's like the president just came down. All of a sudden, he said, no. We are the ones. He said, It got to an extent that he started crying because evidently, you know, some things have happened even before then. Some, they have been privy to some information. What I'm trying to tell you is that the power of forgiveness broke the ice. It made them to open up. Now, if he had held to his bitterness and his anger, that would not have happened. If you want to win your victory, you have to walk in love. That's an example. Then why do I need to walk in love? This one is very important. So that you cannot be defeated. Or so that you can defeat rather and conquer Satan and his cohorts. You know, one of the things that the devil at times holds against us, one of the areas of our life that it seems that Satan, you know, has gained dominion is the area of not letting go. If Joseph did not let go of the pains, the odds, he would never have gotten to the palace. That's why when the brothers of Joseph came to apologize, when their dad had passed on, Genesis 50, he told them in verse 20, he said, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. God has the power to turn evil to good. He has the power to turn a curse to a blessing. But the bottom line is this. You have to let him fight your battles. How? Let go. Forgive those who have offended you. Forgive yourself. Listen, let God fight your battles. There's no how you can be better when you are bitter. The reality of life is this. You will meet with all kinds of people in life. You will meet with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everybody is not the same. You will not get the same kind of treatment. Please protect your heart. Our heart is so fragile. That's what we have to protect. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart. How? With all diligence. Because out of it are the issues or the forces. The forces that controls your life is from your heart. I want to encourage you today because at times people say, Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. In the hands of these people, they are wicked people. They are this. I tell people, I said, God even knows more than you know. So, let go. Let God fight your battles. Even if you take praying, believing God, because the reality is this, you need, for some people, you need faith to love them. You need faith. You must release your faith to love them because your flesh will want to get over you. But you must say, no, I choose to walk in love. Because walking in love is the path of victory. And that's what we get you over. That's what we bring you to the promised land. That's what will make you a winner. That's what I'm praying for you. That you will win in the spiritual battles of this life. I know that as a nation, I know that as a people, even against the pandemic that we're currently facing, victory is certain. So it's important for us to realize that. Let me introduce the 8-1. I think I can see. Talk about one more. How do we wage spiritual warfare successfully? How do we win in the spiritual battles of life? This one is very important. This is a very important principle. You need to stay prayerful. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying always. You know, he had spoken so many above about our weapons. Prayer is also part of the weapons. Praying always with all prayer. Notice that there are all kinds of prayer and supplication. Where? In the spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This scripture tells us the necessity of the prayer weapon in the midst of the battles of life. You cannot win spiritual warfare. You cannot assert your dominion, spiritually speaking, if you're a prayerless person. This is where you need to know how to pray. When you read scriptures, you see that prayer is an important tool. You know, there are many things about prayer, but if I'm going to make one comment about prayer, I will say that prayer is warfare. Listen, prayer is a means of waging spiritual warfare. Paul was talking about a man known as Epaphras, Colossians 4 verse 12. It says, Epaphras, one of you. It says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Epaphras, always laboring fervently for you. So prayer, you know, many people don't know that when you pray, you are travailing. Paul was saying in Galatians 4 verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail. Now, when somebody's in travail, is in pains, or she's in pains, I mean, most likely for a woman, but you know that when we say travailing, it's a figurative expression of warfare. In fact, Isaiah 66 verse 8 says, as soon as Zion travail, see that word again? She brought forth. It's important for you to know that prayer is spiritual, I mean, is warfare. When you pray, you are waging warfare. And if you want to wage spiritual warfare successfully, you must know how to pray. There's a story, I don't have the time to read it. I will encourage you to read it in the comfort of your home. Daniel 10. Daniel 10 from verse 7 to 17. Daniel prayed to God about certain things and the delay. I mean, there was a delay for 21 days. The answer came after 21 days. The angel of the Lord came to bring the answer. And the angel told Daniel, from the first day, notice that word, first day, that you prayed, God answered you. But I was coming with the answer, but the prince of Persia, that is a principality. Don't forget Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principality and powers. There are principality and powers over nations, over communities. They were resisting the angel that was bringing the answer. Now, you can see, if Daniel had not continued praying, the answer would have been delayed or denied. That's why it's important to tarry in the place of prayer. It's important to know how to pray. You cannot win the battles of life successfully if you want to win. So know that prayer is warfare. Prayer is not only warfare. Number two, prayer keeps you alert spiritually. Somebody asked me, how can I be alert, sensitive, vigilant spiritually? Be prayerful. Be prayerful. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, be sober, be vigilant. Prayer keeps you on your toes spiritually. Matthew 26 verse 41, Jesus said, watch and pray. They go together. The word watch means to be alert, to be vigilant. So prayer will keep you alert. And if you go to Ephesians 6 verse 18 that we read, the latter part, Paul said, and watching. The word watch means to be awake, to be alert. So prayer keeps you alert. One thing you cannot afford is to be docile spiritually. You can't afford to be docile. I remember a very powerful story that was shared by a man of God years ago. There was this there's this trader. This man traded along the wilderness route. And those wilderness territories were usually full of bandits and thieves. But this man had the custom. When he was traveling, he will always pray before. In fact, when they settle in the place to tarry for the night, he will pray. In fact, he is very famous for reading Psalm 91. He knew how to pray Psalm 91. There was one day he was so tired. He felt that I can't pray Psalm 91 today. Lord, you understand. I've been busy. So he decided to sleep. Now, unknown to him, the bandits have been trailing him every night. They wanted to attack him. When he prayed faithfully, they would see a wall, an edge of fire. So they couldn't penetrate. So on this day that he refused to pray, they just saw cracks, you know, within the wall. And they sort of like sneaked inside. So when they entered, they woke him. They said, he was afraid. I said, don't be afraid.
He said, this is who we are. We have been trailing for some days, but we have not been able to penetrate. But, you know, funnily today, we saw cracks in the wall that used to protect you. What happened? Something must have happened today. And I said, I know what happened. I was so tired. I couldn't pray today. I was so tired. I said, God, no, please forgive me. And then I told him, he said, whatever you are doing, you know, that is making this war, keep on doing it too. Because this thing is protecting you. We can't even rob you. We just came to tell you so that you know that whatever you were doing before now, you need to keep doing and not stop. You know, at times, we don't know the power and the potency of our prayers. The fact that you don't see anything does not mean anything is not happening. Just like, you know, the battle that we are currently the battle we are facing, the world, the warfare of the COVID-19. I mean, you know, you can't see viruses with your eyes. You can see germs. You can see bacteria. Somebody was giving an illustration of what a bacteria will look like. He said if you take a grain, maybe a grain of rice, break it into a million times, that's probably the size of bacteria. He said if you now take one million of that size of rice and break it to another 1 million. He said that's what the virus, I mean, you know, you can't even see that one already. So it's something that's beyond. Listen, you can't see waves, radio waves, but they're available. So we need to know that the fact that you're praying and you're not seeing anything happening physically does not mean that your prayers don't have an effect. Stay prayerful. You know, my mom has a very funny statement, favorite saying of ours. I will say it in local language. I try to translate it. She said, "Ema dake adura." You know, it's like, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. It's like a slogan. Don't stop praying. Because at times, we get way down. At times, we get weary. But we need to know that prayer is one way you stay alert. And whatever is keeping you docile, I pray that as the Lord visits your prayer life, I can see fresh fire coming there. It's important that fire will keep you alert and afresh. Another thing about prayer that is important that you need to understand is that prayer helps you to give birth to the promises of God. What prophecies have been spoken over your life? What promises are you holding? It's prayer that will give birth to those things. That's why when Jesus gave a promise to the disciples, he told them, "Stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power." Luke 24 verse 49. Listen, when Acts 1 came, Acts 1 verse 14, the Bible says all of them were gathered together in one place in supplication and prayer. So they were in the mood of prayer. Bible scholars tells us by the time Jesus left and Pentecost was 50 days. So they were waiting in the place of prayer for 50 days before the Holy Ghost came. So it's important if you want to win your spiritual battles, you have to be prayerful. You can't afford to be prayerless. Prayer is so key. Prayer is so crucial. Now, when I say prayerful, what do I mean? Being prayerful means you are in close fellowship and communion with God. Don't forget that one definition of prayer. Prayer is fellowshipping or communing with God. That's what prayer is. Fellowshipping and communing with God. What does prayerful also mean? Prayerful also means there's an attitude of prayer about you. There's an attitude, there's a disposition of prayer. You need to keep the fire of prayer burning. There's no how you can win your spiritual warfare successfully if you're lazy in the place of prayer. And that's why I'm seeing fresh fire coming. Fresh fire is coming upon your life. Fresh fire is revitalizing. Fresh fire is making you to come alive in the place of prayer because you will win that battle. So how do I stay prayerful? How do I stay prayerful? I'm going to give like 3 points before I close today. We'll pick it up next time we meet. How do I stay prayerful? Number one, by praying regularly. Pray regularly. Praying consistently. You need to make prayer a part of you. Prayer is not something you do once in a while. Prayer is not something that you do only when, you know, the enemy has struck. It was said about Smith Wigglesworth, one of the great apostles of God. This man, he said, when they asked him about his prayer life, he said, "I never let an hour pass by without spending at least 30 minutes with God in prayer."
So he lived a life of prayer. 1 hour will not pass. He will have spent at least 30 minutes talking. So imagine within 12 hours in the day, he will have spoken to God. Probably not like 6-7 times of that day. So it's important. That's what being prayerful. The Bible was talking about, I think with the apostles who said in Acts 6 verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 7 says, pray without ceasing. The word without ceasing there means without omission. In other words, don't forget to pray. Without intermission. Most people don't forget to eat. Most people don't forget to, to eat, to do whatever. But when it comes to prayer, people forget. So one way to stay prayerful is to pray regularly. You see, when you pray regularly, you build momentum. You build consistency. And that's the grace that is coming to your life today. Then number two, how do you stay prayerful? You stay prayerful by praying at the appointed time. I'm going to explain what I mean by appointed time here. When you look at Ephesians 6:18 that I quoted, that word praying always, the word always there actually means set time or appointed time. So it's saying that there are set times to pray. I remember I didn't used to understand this early days of my Christian experience. I wake up at the middle of the night. I will not be able to sleep. I said, what's happening? I want to sleep. I can't sleep. I try. So I couldn't sleep. Until I met people who were more spiritual. I said, no. I mean, when you woke up like that, did you feel like prayer? I said, I felt like praying. I said, why didn't you pray? I said, I want to sleep. That's the matter. He said, no. You see, at that moment, God is saying, I woke you up to pray, not to sleep. So it's important for you to know to yield to those times. There are times that I tell people that's what we call the burden of prayer. There are times you just feel like praying. I say, when you feel like praying, if you don't yield to the Holy Spirit, you will lose that body. Listen, I've seen God rough things. I remember some years ago when I had the body to pray, it was so strong that after praying and praying, like some of the great, generals of God would say, you pray until you get to a point of, you get a note of victory in your spirit. Once I prayed and I got a note of victory, when I slept, actually I had a dream. Probably a vision anyway, about my mom, and I saw as she went through a surgical procedure and she came out successfully. You know, of course, nobody said anything to me, but was it like maybe a week or 2 weeks when I now called home? And she, to my amazement, I didn't know she was scheduled for surgery and she had actually done it and it came out successfully. So at times, God will give you a burden to pray. Don't resist the burden to pray. Don't resist the impetus to pray. Don't say no. Don't shake it off. Because those things, they have a way of helping you to win. You know, don't forget, God understands the adversary more than you. God understands the opposition better than you. That's why we must know how to yield to the burden of prayer. We must know how to submit ourselves to the promptings of prayer. A new day has come. A new day has come. A new beginning is here. Because as you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, He will begin to give you victory upon victory in the place of your warfare in the mighty name of Jesus. Then one more thing. How do you stay prayerful? You stay prayerful when you learn how to pray in the Spirit. You see, most of the time, what the dimension of prayer that some people know is praying and understanding. Thank God for praying and understanding. I pray in understanding, but I pray more in tongues than understanding. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13, he says, I pray with understanding and I pray in the Spirit. And he even went ahead, he said, when I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful, but he said, in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. It's important for us to realize that we need to pray in the Spirit. Romans 8 26, it says praying always with all, Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also, you know what? The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit of God wants to help our infirmities. Listen, as a human being, we have infirmities. We are way down. I remember days or times when physically you'll be tired, physically you'll be weak. You see, that's why you need to now to depend on the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a way, has a manner of helping you to carry your body in the place of prayer. But if you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, you are missing out. That's why it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're not speaking in tongues. That's one way. I mean, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 19, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. More than you all. I tell people, I pray in understanding, but I pray more in the Spirit than understanding. And I can tell you, it's been of a great blessing. I remember this great general of God by the name of John G. Lake, of blessed memory, was a great apostle to South Africa and several parts of the world. This man was known to spend lots of time praying in tongues. I've never met any truly spiritual man or woman of God who has not invested adequate time in the place of prayer, especially praying in the Spirit. That's why Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you beloved, praying. He didn't say pray. He didn't say prayed. Praying means present continuous. You must keep it going. There is power in praying in tongues. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he says, if any man speak in tongue, he is not speaking unto men, he is speaking unto God directly. I call speaking in tongue direct line to heaven. So if you want to get direct access to the presence of God, if you want God's hearing and God's ear, you need to know how to pray in tongues. This is how to stay prayerful. Pray in the Spirit. It's not a waste of time. In fact, you know, in the natural, we are limited with regards to how or the dimension to which you are. But when you pray in the Spirit, there's a limitless dimension. Remember what I said, limitless. There's no limit to how far God can go and the depth of what you can explore in the place of prayer. And that's the dimension God is bringing you. That's the dimension you are entering into. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's time to get that baptism. Listen, your prayer life will change. My prayer life changed when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you see, the habit of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit helps you to wage spiritual warfare successfully. That's the dimension you are coming into. That's the realm you are moving into today. Whatever battle you are confronted, whatever challenge that is standing, you will win because as you pray in the Spirit, God will make ways. He's making ways already. It's important to realize this. I remember in the early days of my Christian experience, I was so much oppressed and tormented in my dreams. One way God gave me victory was praying in tongues. Praying in tongues helped me to fight that warfare. And I'm prophesying to you out there listening to me. I'm prophesying to you that victory is imminent. Victory is sure as you begin to engage the weapons of prayer. I see you overcoming. I see you victorious. That's the dimension we are coming into. This is where I will bring our discussion today. By the special grace of God, I'll pick it up next week, Tuesday. But I hope this major and important key principles I've shared will help to put you over. And I want you to join me as we're going to pray in the Spirit. Right now, we're praying in the Spirit. Diga sura bakuse braninge rusa baranga ture sekito rasise apre diga poruje kara opra namanga whatever baru, whatever issue, whatever matter, lingrata, I join my faith with you today. I agree with you today that the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the highest, is bringing you into a place, the place of victory, the place of triumph. Linga rose gara la baka rose, eyam baruse baringe borosa, hayam brediga borosa, bayanga borosa, epra la kato rezeke tarata, iprota pakata, whatever battle, whatever struggle, whatever warfare, whatever battle you are going through right now, I pray in the Spirit with you. I agree in the Spirit as we pray. Jehovah is making ways. Jehovah is sending help. Jehovah is sending encouragement. Jehovah is uplifting you. Jehovah is strengthening you. Jehovah is empowering you. You are coming out victorious. You are coming out victorious. You are coming out a winner.
You are coming out a champion. You will not be defeated. You will not be subdued. I prophesy grace to you. I prophesy might. I prophesy wisdom. I prophesy understanding. Strength from above. Strength to carry you through. Strength. You will not fall. You will not falter. You will not fail. You will not be put to shame. I can see someone listening to me. Jehovah is strengthening you from the inner man. Strength is coming. Grace is coming. Power is coming. Victory is on your way. You will not be put to shame. That hopeless situation. I see light. I see light. I see light. I see light at the end of that dark tunnel. I see light. And I'm prophesying light. I'm prophesying light. I'm prophesying clarity. No more confusion. No more confusion. Clarity comes your way. Clarity comes your way. In that battle, Jehovah is carrying you. Jehovah is sustaining you. You will not fail. You will not falter. I decree today. I establish you today. Engora seria gatala brada batata. Limbro da bakata. I also take this time to begin to pray. To pray. I know God is already working out victory concerning the COVID-19 pandemic. Pandemic that is ravaging the world, Lord. I join with other saints. I join with other believers who are watching me online. We pray in the spirit once again. We pray victory. We pray victory. Thank you for this court comes to an end. Thank you, Father, for arresting the arrester. Thank you, Father, because the blood speaks. It speaks life. It speaks healing. We put an end to the spread, an end to this pandemic. Oh God, thank you for arising. Thank you for your blood over the nations. Let mercy prevail. Let mercy prevail. Let mercy prevail. It's a new day. Oh God, where the pandemic has held sway, Lord, break the power, break the hold, break the grip, break the influence of the evil one. Let the nations of the world be free. Let Nigeria be free. Let Africa be free. Let South America be free. Let North America be free. Let Asia be free. Let the Southern Pacific be free. We speak liberty. We speak life. Sora labakata, sora labaka, sora labaka, sora labaka. E prodige prodise, e prodige sibrala, e prodige suseri, a prodige suseri, a prodige susala. Victory we declare, victory we declare, light we declare. Let healing, the healing, healing of the nations, recovery of the nations, recovery of economies, recoveries, recoveries, recoveries. Let there be an overturning. Lord, you specialize in reversing the irreversible. Thank you for reversing the irreversible. Thank you for reversing the irreversible. Thank you for hope and healing for our world. Satan will not have dominion because you created this place for man and you place man in charge. We declare victory. We declare victory. We are victorious. We claim the victory. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence. To those of us who are watching online, we are sick in any part of your body. Put your hand there. Father, we pronounce healing today. We pronounce deliverance. Surely you bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem you stricken, smitten, afflicted of God. By the stripes of Jesus, we receive healing and wellness and wholeness. The stripes of Jesus, let it prevail against this pandemic. Let it prevail. We want to thank you, Father, for victory. Blessed be your name. Father, we thank you.